Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 35 of the Legion of Blogcast. I'm Jay Bowman. With me, as always, Mr. Wyatt Arndt, the stanchion. Wyatt, how art thou?
I'm doing great.
Good stuff. Yeah. We don't have John with us. We're doing a bit of a remote today. Yep. We're recording at your place.
Yep.
But in lieu of John, we have a special guest.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, he was on the highest rated episode in Legion of Blogcast history, in the rich 35 episode history we have.
Long time ago.
Highest rated episode. Jason Botchford is with us. Botch, how you doing?
Yeah, that's quite the compliment.
Yep.
The highest rated episode.
Yep.
Yet today, we were supposed to start this podcast at 2. It's now 3:40. You guys canceled on me yesterday, by the way. I basically had
Wait, Friday?
I was rearranging time due to This is our dirty laundry here.
That's right.
Go ahead, see what you got to say, because I got some stuff to say.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm turning down Around the Horn, Off the Record, 60 Minute Sports, because I said, like, look, I'm only doing one interview this week. It's going to be on Legion of Blog. They booked me a long time ago. It takes me over an hour to get here. And I'm waiting an hour and 40 minutes playing GTA 5.
To be fair, we provided GTA
for you. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's the green
room. Who else provides that?
Waiting in the green room.
We were supposed to do it on Tuesday. We record on Mondays.
Yeah.
But it's Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And, you know, so.
I never heard Tuesday.
I asked if. See, we'll go through the. Basically, Thursday is what we went to. I said, okay.
It was okay.
He wanted Tuesday. I asked you. You said Thursday. So we said Thursday.
You said pick any date.
Yeah.
I said Thursday.
Yeah.
Then something came up with the family. Yeah. I couldn't do Thursday. Happens. So I said Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday's, like, was. I had stuff going on.
You should have seen the look in his face when I suggested Saturday. He didn't want to hit me. And so we couldn't do Saturday.
Yeah, you were pissed off.
He was angry. Saturday. He was upset.
It was just like,
Then you guys canceled on me, and I said, well, wait a minute. So you're telling me all day Saturday, all night Saturday night, you guys aren't available.
Like, I could have done Saturday.
There's not.
I didn't think he did Saturday.
Yeah, because there's no SNL tonight. So
yeah, I told you
it would be
Saturday. I don't think he did Saturday. So that's what. But then you said, "Oh, is he free Saturday?" So I asked you, "Oh, can you do Saturday night?" And you said, "Oh yeah, we're available at 2," which is not the night, but that works fine for us, I guess. Anyways,
yeah.
Now it's awkward. It's awkward in here now, and we're angry. So
it does feel awkward.
Before we get into it, though, what were your thoughts on Grand Theft Auto? Your first time playing it? It took you a while to get through that first mission.
I learned a lot about you.
Yeah, that's true.
Watching you play Grand Theft Auto.
What can you learn from someone playing Grand Theft Auto?
Here's what I could learn from you. You're a gentleman.
I try to do what you're supposed to do. Steal cars, have sex with women, and shoot my guns. What did I do wrong?
Well, let's just... I came in and you would just... Wyatt was taking you to the strip club for the first time.
Yep.
You know, showing the strip club stuff.
Fidelity
and
record.
You got the private dance. And then in the private dance, you have three options. You could, you know, flirt with the girl.
That's right.
You can press a button to touch the girl.
Right.
Or you can press a button to end the dance and send her away. Which button did you press?
Yeah, I guess it was the end the dance.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then you back out of the strip club floor. Wyatt's like, oh, find another girl. Just ask her. And you're staring at you pull out your cell phone in the game, and you're walking around all these scantily clad women in the game, just walking around the strip club staring at your phone.
Bumping into them repeatedly where they're getting angry at him. He's upsetting the strippers.
Was your character tweeting?
To be fair, the girls had a lot of bruises. I felt awkward. Weird in there.
Yeah, but
it was odd.
Yeah, it was fun watching you play. Today, the Canucks, 10 a.m. game,
yep.
A ridiculous 10 a.m. game. Last time they had one, it was a lot, you know, more exciting than this one. But it was still a pretty good game. Canucks Penguins. This will be coming out on Tuesday. But thoughts on the game that happened a few days ago?
That's when it's coming out.
Yeah.
A few days from now. It was a good game. I mean, look, they held their own against one of the best teams in the East. I don't know what how much more you could want from what they did today. It was entertaining as all hell. Went down to the third period, and they've been criticized for for their schedule this year, for beating teams that they should be beating.
Yeah,
right. That's the big criticism.
Well, they put
the
that stat up. It's like combined record of the team the Canucks have beat, and then combined record of the team that have beaten the Canucks, and it's
But we're not even a month into this season, so you know they can't. They can't design the schedule. The Sharks obviously have their number. I was excited to see them play a good team that wasn't the Sharks, and that was the Penguins, and they did well.
Yeah, it's like we could actually use this one as a benchmark. We recorded immediately after the Buffalo game on Thursday, And we couldn't get excited about it because, yeah, you beat Buffalo.
They're really bad. I'm sure you They are really bad. But they might get Connor McDavid, though. I mean, that's the plan. Like, sell off Miller, all that, and get Connor McDavid. As I said, better than Crosby in that. Well, that's crazy.
That is insane.
What pressure for that kid, eh?
Yeah, the Sportsnet magazine. Big picture Connor McDavid. Big, yeah, better than Crosby.
A little harsh.
Because Crosby was, like, heralded as the next Wayne Gretzky. Not better than Gretzky, but the next coming of that kind of dominant, all-around great player.
Yeah, next month, better than Jesus.
Whoa! Connor McDavid, better than Grand Theft Auto 5.
Well, after the game today, I thought Cassian actually played his best game. He actually backchecked, he actually had some speed out there, and he looked really good. The one guy I thought looked really bad. Well, not bad, just not. David Booth still. I don't like him. I don't like what he's bringing this year. Yeah. David Booth has just been...
He's a decent third liner.
Yeah, it's that $4.2 million that was brutal. That cap hit is just awful.
And he's been good on the third line.
Yeah,
and I don't see him getting off the third line anytime soon.
No, nope.
Burrows is out, and in that time, Booth basically couldn't get a sniff of the top six. And he's playing 12 minutes a game. He's got one goal. He is the Yoso of the team. You only score once a season. And I'm not sure, like, when I watch him play, it's not like he's coming close to scoring.
Like more Higgins goals. Was. Like, yeah. Higgins, like Higgins for the first couple of days, near misses. Geez, what's it going to take for this guy?
Yeah. So I'm worried for Booth for a couple of reasons. One, I don't see how he's going to get off that third line for any length of time. And two, he's even when he's on, in the top six getting chances, he's not scoring. So now he's not getting any chances. He may literally only score once this entire season. I sure don't see him getting to 10.
Yoso, man.
Do you?
This is his prime opportunity to do something. Burrows is out. There's a bit of a vacuum. Yeah, but like he could make a play and like jump up a bit. Like step up in Burrows' absence. And he's doing the opposite. Like Santarelli's the guy.
Yeah, Santarelli is the guy.
Yeah,
even Richardson center, his game up. Richardson's been playing better lately too.
Santarelli should center every line.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Just over the course of 60 minutes, he should be given
Santarelli
a chance to play everyone.
I think Santarelli is
better than McDavid.
Just keeps going, but
is the next Crosby.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought Richardson's been playing great. Like he got that shorthanded goal. That was game one. Was it or the first home game? I think it was.
I don't know about your use of great, but
this has been surprising me.
Better than he was in preseason.
He's forechecking. He's doing a lot of stuff on the PK. Like I'm liking how he's playing.
The PK, there are no problems with that penalty kill.
Yeah.
And they're getting plenty of workout.
It's just, yeah. I mean, the problems I see, like, again, I think Boost. I don't know. Like cap hit sucks, and then Testito. I still don't know how he's an everyday player. I don't under like he got beat up today by
what do you call him, England. Testito?
Testito, what do you want to call him? I don't know. Tom. Come Tom.
Thomas.
Thomas.
No, Thomas is still playing.
But like, got beat by England? Like, I don't know. Like, he's not even providing. I don't know. I don't know what they see in him. I really don't.
They like him. They like him. They like them some Testito.
Did they like to party with him? Like, is it off ice something like? Like, what? This can't be on ice.
It's that guy you have in your crew. He's the top guy, so you can say shit to anybody.
Yeah,
you
it must
want.
Be it. Like, Equilibrium brings him to parties. Yeah.
This is GTA 5. You'd be friends with Testito. Yeah. You'll Rob Kress, but I wrote, when he signed in the summer, I wrote a piece about Testito where I basically said that the Canucks are he's a project.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Canucks are going to re-sign him because this management has been a sucker for projects.
Yeah.
Over the course of the past number of years. And they were not happy. I got the cold shoulder from the Canucks brass for about 2 weeks.
Really? Does that happen?
That they were not.
Often?
No, the only Testito stories.
Really? Yeah.
I've only been frozen out over Testito stories. And once Steve Bernier, I remember ripping Steve Bernier one time. And
you could say whatever you Mike want about Mason Raymond, but you leave Testito alone.
That's right.
The crown jewel, Thomas Testito.
Yeah. I'm not returning your call. Why? Because of what you wrote about Testito.
What?
What did I do?
Oh. Do me a favor. Yeah, count your lucky stars. I wrote anything about Testito.
Yeah, that's true.
Took a couple weeks, and then it finally was, you know what? I'm over the Testito thing now.
Mitchell, no, don't make fun of Testito.
Yeah.
It's like giving those glares at me.
That's their hot button. Yeah, because we make fun of Testito all the time.
Oh, yeah. He's a prime source of entertainment for us.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, but anybody else there really disappointing you? Botch, anybody letting you down? that you had high hopes for?
Well, you know, I think that I'm just so fed up with the beast mode with Ryan Kessler. Like, it just drives me nuts. Like, I watch Marshawn Lynch, and I get why people can say beast mode when they watch him play. I watch Ryan Kessler, and nothing. The word beast does not come into my head. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely been overused, so that's really gnawing at me. I don't think that he's played particularly well over the beginning of the season, but I also think he can't really win, because if he was out there hitting like crazy, blocking shots like crazy, you know, throwing himself into the boards and into the net and into the crease.
Reckless.
That's right.
It's reckless.
He's playing reckless. He's going to get injured again. And I do believe that it has got to him, the injuries, over the past couple of years. And I do think that he is he's less engaged physically than he used to be. But he's still got to produce. He's not there right now. And, you know, I don't see the that. Remember the wrist shot was all the time?
Oh, yeah.
In the offseason, how he got that skills coach.
Yeah, Braxton
comes out. I don't see it unleashed very often. They don't, and to be fair to him, they don't really put him in a position to unleash it on that power play where they have him constantly playing net front. I mean, it's a power play that it's either last in the league or second last in the league right now, as we're talking. And I think that at some point you got to change.
Oh yeah,
something, right?
Yeah,
like you got to move him out of that net front. Let him uncork the wrister.
Why put him on the second unit, if anything? Yeah, because like right now they seem to really enjoy having the Sedins feeding Garrison. Anyone can sit in front of the net. Put Cassian out there for the power play, because he can get the big body, right?
Yeah. Like, Cestino.
Cestino, yeah, get Tom out there. I mean, that guy's the next stud, right? Next Kresge. Get him out there, but yeah.
So what are we, like 5, 6, 7 minutes into this, and nothing about Joe Thornton, you guys aren't?
No, we have that. Don't worry. Oh, that's don't worry, we're not idiots.
Yeah, we're going to ease into it, but I reimagine you've been talking about that all.
It's warming you up a bit
here. It happened, but yeah.
It's like a nice date. We're not going to jump right
into
it.
It's a different kind of show, Bosh. Different kind of show. We're gonna ease into three hours
dedicated to that fully.
I get a lot of people asking me, I'm gonna get a Canucks jersey, who should I get? I'm thinking of maybe getting Cassian, or should I get like Hansen or anything like that. Cassian, I think, is a good choice because he'll be here for a while. Young guy, he'll hopefully be here for a while.
After what they've invested in him.
Yeah. And if he doesn't work out, you just take the name bar off, and like people have with the Hodgson jerseys. Hodgson comes off, Cassian goes right back on, you don't lose a jersey. But Henrik Sedin will be a jersey that's relevant forever if you get a Henrik jersey. Daniel, same thing, and Burrows. Even if Burrows leaves here on bad terms, he always got that goal in Game 7 against Chicago.
That's right.
He was always that scrappy player who rose up from nothing and was, you know, a star for us.
Good pick.
If you get a Kessler jersey and he leaves in like 2 years, you can't really wear that. Does Kessler have those moments here that make him
well,
he's
a legacy jersey. The National Series. That's where Beast Mode came from. That's where he earned it, because he was insane that series. So, I mean, had they won the Cup in 2011, it would have been enshrined.
Well, anybody on that team.
Well, Tampa Lee jersey would have been like forever. Like Backchuck on Erat? We got to get that guy's jersey.
Tanner Glass jersey.
Oh, no, that's too far. It's too far. He missed that shot. It was terrible.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I think when I think about Kessler. Yeah. Like, what has he done to establish himself as a legacy jersey?
He got in a fight with Umberger. That was pretty fun.
He had three really good years.
Yeah.
And he had one
Selke trophy. Yep.
Unbelievable series against the Predators.
Yeah.
But it's almost unfair to expect him to play like that. And
all the time, yeah.
The term to me, beast mode, is, I think, it should die on the vine.
We can do aggressive puppy mode. You know, you get home, he's all over you, excited, not doing much, but he's, you know.
He's there. Yeah. He's trying.
But gently, he's not hurting himself. So aggressive puppy mode is what I'm
Yeah, watch. Last time you were on the show was the start of that was the Fast and Furious thing.
That's right.
You challenged me.
Yeah,
to that. So I'm not going to talk about movies a lot.
No,
there will be some movies.
I'm sure
stuff.
Gravity. How many times have you seen Gravity?
Just the once.
That's it.
Just once.
Incredible self control.
You know, I went to the movies one time in all of September. One time. Yeah, this is a long road trip for the Canucks. Yep. A lot of games at 4, all that kind of stuff.
I like the way it's set up. I like the early game, like today.
Yep.
I like the morning games. You guys?
Nope.
You don't?
I like early morning games.
It's weird, because once the game is over, like it's now 1 o'clock and your whole day is in front of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Nothing to look forward to all day. I heard Tort say he would like to see all NHL games played in the afternoon.
Oh. We will talk to him about that?
Yeah, we're going to have a chat with him about that.
Doesn't sound fun to me. See, but I mean, I don't know. The schedule, you should ask Eddie Lack next time he's on. But what do you think?
Wish he was.
Has he been on again?
We ask. We just got to. He's a little scared. The Canucks PR machine has scared him a bit.
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, they're a little bit more. Like, he doesn't tweet anymore. Short Torres has scared him with Twitter.
That's right.
And the Canucks PR guys are there. So it's just, yeah.
He's and, like, Twitter. Yeah, we're in there talking to him, and they're like, well, what are you going to print about him? Right? We're not in there to make anybody look bad.
No.
But speaking about.
Do they say that? Have they said that to you?
That's the sense that we get.
Yeah.
Right.
Is like, they don't understand that we're not there to make anyone look bad. Like, Lack could say, like, all women should be in the kitchen or whatever. We wouldn't run that. Because that makes them look bad. But, we get the sense from the team that that's the. There's always really skepticism whenever we're around, and they hover very close.
So have you asked Lack to come back and do...
No, we should, though.
Do the podcast. You got to do that.
Yeah. He's on a road trip now, so we'll check in. We'll get his thoughts on Tom Cestito.
Yep.
The puppy's Cestito, glowing. Yeah.
Well, I asked him before, like, who would you rather have?
That's when you'll know like, he's fully in line with the organization.
He's one of our best players.
Tom Cestito's a great player. He's one of the best, man.
He finishes his checks really strong.
Oh, he finishes his check. Yeah. Lack for Vezina.
Calder?
Yeah, it's true.
Hey,
yeah.
Calder and a Vezina.
That's pretty good. Has that been done before? Eddie Lack needs those votes, and this is how it's going
to
happen.
And we're the guys who give it to him.
Yeah. You know, honestly, because you look at it, like, what happened to the All-Star game last year? If they can vote in Ovechkin at left wing and right wing, how can we not get votes for Lack? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's garbage.
It would be a good way for me to get back at the Writers Association.
Yeah, exactly.
For not backing me.
Did you get sold out?
I did get sold out.
All right, let's get ready.
Let's get ready. Here we go. Open the room.
Okay.
Oh, I'm excited.
So, in case anyone out there is listening, lives under a rock,
Botchford. I'm sure people.
Yeah. Know even then, it's probably reached under the rock. Yeah,
that's
yeah
right.
Those people know. People under the rock are sick of hearing
it. Yeah.
But, you.
When it was got to my sister in law, who works in Ontario at the Pickering nuclear plant, and when the guys there were like all over. Saying, you know, your boy's in hot water, man. He's in hot water. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, Joel Thornton. And then they try to add explain. Like, if you talk to someone out of the hockey realm, this story about Joel Thornton stroking his cock, me reporting it, they're dumbfounded by the whole thing. It's even a week later, I heard Naylor and Sigaris talking about it on the radio, saying that this is to be studied. In journalism classes.
Oh, no.
I can just see in the Columbia journalism class. Them study.
Are you doing Botchford 101 this year?
doing 3 months on Thornton Botchford.
Oh, I got Professor Tompkins in Botchford. Oh, God. That's a hard class. That's ridiculous. What was it like, I guess, when it first blew up? And
yeah. Well, I heard Howard Stern talking about this the other week, saying that sometimes when you're on Twitter... It can. It's like you're sitting on a beach, and waves of assholes are descending upon you. And this was the tsunami of assholes that day and night. I mean, it just it was wave after wave after wave for a good 24-hour period.
Like
of assholes.
Because I was reading comments, and you see comments, people are like, I hope you never work again. Like, yeah, why? Why would, why would you wish them not to work again?
Because I didn't fully understand. I read like the original story because I'm like, I saw the headline. Oh, that's interesting. So I read that, the story is hilarious and off the record. So I read that. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then I kind of went away for a while. And then it was during the third period of the game. I got home to see the third period intermission talk, and they were talking about that.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is a pretty big deal. And then I put on Twitter, it's like, I'm a little tired of hearing about Joe Thornton's cock, to be honest. Anybody with me?
Well, and that's the other part that always got me was I was trying to get attention. And if you saw the way that I presented it, I wasn't trying to get attention. I saw something that, for instance, when the Toronto Maple Leafs were here a year ago, right? Roberto Luongo took a time out of a scrum, went up to Damon Cox and said, why are you here? Are you here scouting for the Leafs? I thought that was gold. I reported that right away. And it was that kind of scene that I saw when Thornton, broke up the scrum. Like, it was just ridiculous. I'd never seen anything like that. Like, a guy break up a scrum, start yelling at Farhand, say, shut up, fuck, and then go into his rant. And I thought... you know, again, just like I thought with Luongo and Cox, and just like I thought in a bunch of other times where I've reported things like that, that this is too good of a story not to pass, to pass on. And if I have any regret now, it's that then I didn't turn it into a bigger story, because if it was going to blow up this big, I feel awkward that it's blown up over basically, you know, a note in a notebook that I was putting together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the article itself, people would read it.
I wish I had put it into a much bigger...
Well, there's like four items, and it's like the third item in there. It's not like the headline was like, Joe Thornton's cock. And that was like, it was just like Canucks updates.
Right, so I wish that I had made it up.
Yeah, that would have been it. You should have done that. Joe Thornton threatens reporters with cock. That's the way to sell it, Bosch.
Yeah, that's exactly what I needed to do.
Because, yeah, that was insane. This is so... And people are like... And people talk about, like, you know, the old guard and the old reporters.
Boggers.
Yeah, the boggers, the bitter old guys, the boggers coming in after you. And they're just, like, laying into you.
Yeah, who's Scott Young, who's that guy in Winnipeg that got caught plagiarizing? I've seen plagiarists get better coverage than I got. Like, I couldn't believe these pricks out there.
Like, I was on your Twitter page reading all the interactions. Yeah, oh yeah. Like, once I realized how big a deal this was, and I saw, I think one person in my timeline said something to you like, I hope you never work, or I hope no one ever gives you an interview again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's harsh. I wonder what else they're saying. So I clicked on your Twitter and I was reading all the interactions. Right. You handled yourself very well. But I couldn't believe some of the people that were just going crazy on you. And that's exactly what it is, you know, the journalistic integrity. And, oh, it's just doing this for, I forget who it was, someone said it's just doing this for Twitter followers.
I'm like, no.
Yeah. Oh, I don't do it for Twitter. Like I said, like that it's routine for me. I do that stuff all the time. And the extremes were unreal. Like, so, and then I'm in my office and my boss pulls me in, and it was me, him, and another one of my bosses. And then he says, well, this is why we pulled you off news. Like, this is fantastic. And I go, like, now we know that was the right call to pull you off news and to put you into sports. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. What about all the other stuff I've been doing for 8 years? Now, this is the reason.
The one. Yep. We were waiting for a cock story.
Yeah, you got the more cock stories in sports, please. You
finally got it.
This is the one?
Botchard files his 10th story. Albert threatens with cock. Like,
a little note in my notebook. I feel guilty about that.
Like when we do videos and stuff, like, we'll write jokes and stuff for them. And stuff that we think will be huge. And even when you're writing articles.
Yeah.
Things that you think will be huge kind of are duds, and things that you didn't think are all that good or all that funny, people, you know, really take hold of and love. It's weird.
The worst thing that you'll find out, I'll write an article, like, no matter what happened the last couple of years, a Mason Raymond joke will be, like, loved by more than anything else. I'll write the funniest, most in-depth, like, you know, three layers comics joke,
yeah,
and like, oh, Mason Raymond fell down again. Oh, Raymond fell down again. Oh my people God. Love it.
Yeah.
It's how the world works.
Yeah, and everyone, like, lots of guys were getting shrapnel. Like, I saw one person tweeted Wyatt and said that he hadn't tweeted in 24 hours and he's gone into hiding because Botchford's in trouble.
Yeah, I was like, what? Can you imagine? I better not tweet today. Botchford did that cock story.
So, yeah, I did not get the support from the Brotherhood, that's for sure.
No, well, the thing is, for me, like...
And Spectre just emailed me saying, like, do you have any ads to add to the Writers Association? And I should just give them, like, 15 bloggers and say, As chapter chair, I have now added these 15 guys. They will now be voting on all the awards.
Yeah. They do really good Photoshops. Yeah. They're really good with Photoshop.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Because once you're in, you're in for life. So I'd put you guys in.
Oh.
And then
we could have a dinner and celebrate. That'd be nice.
I should make the stanchion the chapter chair.
Can you imagine?
I'm actually stepping down. The chapter chair of the Writers Association is
all
now.
Cots are all the time.
Comes. Why? Yeah, just wearing his sneakers.
Yeah. My t-shirt and my suit jacket.
Hey, Joe. You guys can be co-chairs.
There we go.
One guy in his sneakers, one guy in his Green Lantern hat.
Yep. Wouldn't that be a sight? Now, we talked about it a bit when we recorded the other night. If that's what happened to you when you ran that story, the nuclear shitstorm that would have happened if one of us...
Imagine.
We
wouldn't have. Yeah, I couldn't... But that's right, you guys, like, would have been...
Because you have the credibility, like, you have the established... Like, you've been doing this for a long time.
Right.
But, yeah, if it was one of us who did it...
That's right.
Journalistic standards have just dipped so low.
That's right. Bloggers would no longer be getting press passes.
Yep.
It would be unrelenting against all bloggers.
But
I mean, just the number of underwear and basement jokes I couldn't even take.
Well, even Dallas Eakins did a joke about that, too. Like, they're talking about the rumors about Yakupov. which, to be honest, fuck, Darren Drager helped report them, but they're like, oh, Dallas Eakin's like, oh, you know, bloggers in their basements, like, as if, like, we're sitting here going, you know, Yakupov, you could trade him to the Leafs. But if you saw, again, what Drager said, where he said, like, you know, the Leafs wouldn't take Yakupov for Reimer, which to me is, like, horseshit, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But, like, that's more damaging and influential saying that on, like, you know, media versus, like, a random blogger come with a stupid rumor. So I don't know how it always comes down to the basement stuff, but we're not making rumors. We're doing Photoshops. We're not doing rumors.
Yeah.
We're doing Photoshop.
We could do rumors.
We can if you want.
We'll have the blogger skills contest. Yeah. Fastest rumor.
Sestito for Connor McDavid. It's coming.
Sounds good. Next year. Well, Sestito's better than Crosby. Yeah.
And I was also surprised at the number of writers who were upset, infuriated that they may not get quotes like this in the future. Like, I'm thinking, like, well, quotes you can't use? You may not get those in the future. Like, what's
there's a lot.
What's the point?
Yeah, if you weren't going to run with a quote like that, why are you mad that you're not going to get quotes like that anymore?
Well, it's two things. Like, for one, like they're saying off the record, if Joe Thornton makes it a case to walk over and scream it or yell across the room, whatever, like it's on him.
He's, in front of reporters.
Yeah, it's not like he's new to the game here, right? And he's offering it up. Why not? And two, if like you don't run that thing, we have just a normal run of the mill game day, you know, report, which we hear all the time. At least like that adds a bit of flavor, and that's, again, more fun, and it gets people involved. Like, why not?
It's more interesting read.
Yeah, exactly. And again, and like I said all along.
Well,
like,
I mean, Jack Todd, another writer, tweeted at me and said, like, you know, he would have, you should pass all this to write about, you can't use quotes like this because you got to write the quotes that matter. And I tweeted him back and I said, this is sports, Jack.
Yeah.
None of it fucking matters.
That's the thing.
It's all fucking nonsense. I found some really interesting nonsense, and I reported that nonsense. Yep. And that's what happened. But, like, the stuff that matters, the entitlement of these guys just blows me away. Like you're sports reporters, okay? You're not fucking saving the world. And these great quotes that you're going to get from players, like, what are they really – what value do they really have? What meaning do they really have? And does any of it really matter? And ultimately, it doesn't, I don't think. And when I started, I started with, you know, one of my core beliefs is report like you have nothing to lose. And, you know, that's kind of at the root of where that came from. What do I care if these guys are mad at me or upset with me? Or
report like you have nothing to lose. Dance like no one is watching.
Exactly.
That's my other motto.
Well, at the end of the day, though, what I saw along, Joe Thornton nails it out of the park because no one's talking about Hurdle anymore. Like, that's exactly what he wanted, and no one's even talking about that anymore. It's just blown away by Cockgate.
Botch, was there anybody who came out and supported you that surprised you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you thought that someone would, you know...
Well, I mean, to be on the same side as, like, Blake Price was, like, super...
I can't even describe that. Do you think you might be wrong?
I did the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, Blake Price is totally off right. Board with me, yeah.
I almost apologized at that minute.
Called press conference.
But, I don't normally agree with Blake on just about anything. And here we are ending up, the baby dragon himself is out there breathing fire on people. And I have to admit, like, a part of me kind of, like, got a kick out of it. Like, sitting back and just watching Blake, like, go off on guys. I mean, he's unrelenting.
Yeah, no, he really goes at it on Twitter.
And, like, Rosie DiMano kind of wrote a piece defending me, and that was a little bit odd. Not normally on my side. Damian Cox kind of took a reasonable approach to it, and, like, he's one of my... Yeah, no, he's one of my main arch rivals. Like, people, reporters around the country, like, applaud when I go at Damien.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I loved it when you fucking hit Damien with this or that. Yeah, all right, well, why didn't you do anything?
Did Dan Russell support you?
No.
Is there anybody...
That relationship is...
is it done?
Is there anybody who didn't support you that you thought would or that you were hoping would? I mean, I know you're not out there, like, pandering for people's support.
Yeah, well,
I think that
in general, I think that the writers took I expected it from the ex-players to take a very extreme look at it. I didn't expect it from the, like, guys like Spector and Dave Naylor and these guys that took very extreme positions. I don't think that they fully, like I said, the plagiar, this week, the Toronto Star, their intern got caught plagiarizing, And he came out and said, yeah, you know what? I plagiarized. And all of these writers just showered him in bouquets. Like, you're so courageous for admitting it. This, what an incredible day. You can restart your career now. I didn't get any of that.
It's that weird thing of people, like, coming out and admitting that they've done, like, something wrong. Like, you see that sometimes with, like, celebrities.
Steroids,
like, Mel Gibson will come out and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm a crazy, drunken racist, but so, I'm looking to get help. Oh, Mel. Just applaud his courage.
We should be plagiarizing more. I don't know why we are doing that. Come on.
This is what I've been telling you.
You know what I should do? I should just do this article on cockades. Do it out there again.
And I'll do it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, guys, what? We're sorry.
We're trying to get ahead.
Yeah, we're trying.
That's what we've learned from this, is that plagiarism, it's the
plagiarism
way to do
works.
It.
Plagiarism works. Reporting stories, not so much.
Have things been different at all since it happened? Like, as far as in the locker room or whatever within
no,
the players? I don't imagine it would be.
The locker room's a super professional atmosphere. I ask questions, they give answers, and that's not going to change. As much as some people think it would or could, it doesn't happen that way. So, no, nothing's changed.
Awesome. We got tons of questions from Twitter.
Oh, people ask questions.
People, yeah, and I don't want to cut any of the questions because people want to hear from you, Botch, more than they want to hear from us. So
me or Bro Jake?
Bro Jake.
Have you guys asked Bro Jake to come on?
He turns it down. He's too big for us.
He's big time.
And we can't commit to a time, so it's just really hard.
Not only that, but he will also blow us out of the water with his sports knowledge versus ours.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep.
He's really good at Grand Theft Auto, though. Yeah. That's.
But then I talked to him about like Def Leppard and stuff, and I'd school him on that.
It is an odd show when Pratt is your sports expert.
Yep. Well, the weird thing with that was, like, when they first brought him aboard, he's like, well, we're going to rearrange the studio so we can bring musical guests. I'm like, but this is sports radio. What musical guests are you bringing in that you need for sports radio?
Joe Thornton's got a band.
Yeah. the four Strokes, or what are we
the four Strokes? The Strokes.
The Strokes. There you go. Joe Thornton and the Strokes.
Okay, so, yeah, let's get right into it. Not Ron McLean asks, would Botch replace Glenn Healy on the Hockey Night in Canada panel so that Elliot isn't alone?
Glenn Healy's not, he doesn't have a lot of fans.
Well, he goes at Twitter, too. Like, he recently came out and said, I'm not gonna use Twitter. And there's a column now, it's called 140 Words.
Why is anyone turning their nose up at anything?
Yeah,
like you said, it's sports.
Yeah, so Glenn Healy likes to make enemies with everyone.
What is he? So he's got a column with.
It's a column. It's a big rant about how he hates Twitter, and you can't get anything across with Twitter, so he's going to do a column. It's going to be called 140 Words. And his column's 140 Words, which, like, as an article, makes it like it's 140 Words. What? There's more of a case to be made that you're going to have a harder time to get a point across in an article of 140 Words than Twitter.
And let's not forget, like, I think Lost in Thornton Week was the fact that I did confront Tortorella with Healy calling him out.
Yep.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah,
we played the clip on the show, and it was...
That's where the all right came from. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Have you tracked down who it was?
We don't know.
It sounds like Elliot to me. Have you asked?
He's never that loud, though. That seems...
Sounds like Elliot to me.
Well, I'll find out, though. I want to know.
Yeah. That's a secret that'll go through the ages. Are people sitting in the chairs now?
People do, yeah, more than they used to with AV. Yeah.
Turtle made it okay. We were always starting to sit in them, you know.
We were going to do it this year.
Yeah.
Because
start sitting
coach,
in them?
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone stands around. We're going to be different. And he was going to pick us apart, and then we were going to report on people's cocks.
He's been really good, Tortorella.
To the media?
I think just all around. Like, just his demeanor, the way I think that he's been very insightful in answering questions. It's been refreshing, I think, for the past couple of months. I'm expecting this all to change at some point with Torts, but so far, like whenever every interview he's done, I think has been, I don't know if riveting is the right word, but interesting.
I like watching him like on the bench too during the games. He's passionate. He's engaged. Like it would always cut to Vigneault, who would just kind of, you know, look not bored, but just kind of, you know,
it's chewing gum.
Chewing his gum and not showing a lot, but I'd much rather it cut to Tortorella freaking out about a too many men penalty.
Right. Tortorella is
going
really good.
Shit over
he
that.
Knows, like, he waits 5 seconds, then he swears. He knows the cameras get to him. Doesn't swear right away. He waits, counts it out, and he's like, fuck, and he always nails the camera spot.
I don't know that the camera cut to him, but he was like looking at the camera, and then he kind of, and then he went into his thing. That'd be great.
Well, we go to the end of game pressers, like last year with Vigneault. it was very boring. We go down, there was just cliche. Yeah. Really, like, even for me, like, new to the thing, even I was bored after two of them, right? But in the air, this year, Torrance actually asked us questions, like, oh, yeah, it wasn't good enough tonight. We need more.
That's right.
He actually asks and tells you and kind of gives you insight into how it's going to be done. And if he doesn't want to ask the questions, he lets you know, which is kind of nice. Like, oh, I'm not going to talk about that.
That's fine. I think he's put forth better answers in more good answers in 2 months than I heard from AV in years, especially the last 3-4 years.
Kodorama asks, does Botford miss the Moj's massages? Miss Moj's massages.
Yeah, I am not into massages at all. Like, I don't like massages, but the worst is the man massage. And Moj, he will massage any, like, if he was here, he'd be massaging this table in front of me. Like, he is into man-on-man touch at all times. He wants to wrap his arm around you. He wants to massage your back. He wants to shake, you know, rub your noogie, your head.
That's weird.
I mean, it's got to be very difficult to be a friend of Moj.
See, I don't much care for massages either because they shine a light on how much tension you're walking around with usually. Yeah, that's exactly. Like, if you can't get them regularly every day, it's awful. Because I walk around, let's just say that tension scale 1 to 10, I walk around every day as a 6. If I get a massage, all of a sudden I feel great. I feel like, oh, I feel like an 8. I'm so relaxed.
I don't get the great.
And then when I don't have a massage, because I know what an 8 feels like, my 6 now feels like a 3.
Not bad.
So, yeah, no massages. Wyatt, your take on massages?
They're fine.
Okay.
Man, unwarranted massages, I agree.
Did the man massage?
No. If it's unwarranted, well, that'd be weird. Yeah, if there's a man there, you just... That'd be awkward. So you show up for a massage, like you just need one, and you go up, and it's a man. You're not going to be able to sit. It's a
Seinfeld situation.
Yeah. And you're like,
but to be clear, I don't like massages from any.
Yes.
And that's my thing.
Not even Amanda Bynes. You would be like, no, if that was her thing.
Well, I would like to do other things with Amanda Bynes. Massage would not make my top 10.
But that's the only thing she wants to do. She's like, no.
Where is she right now?
She's been institutionalized because she lit some garbage on fire.
Waiting for you to rescue.
Yeah, that's part of the plan. You said she had to be stuck in there. You'd go and you'd nurse her back.
You've noticed what's happening with Lindsay Lohan, right?
What's happened with her?
She's rehabbing her whole image. Mm-hmm. She's in mid-rehab right now. She's going to come out with a hit movie in the next couple of years.
And that's going to be her comeback.
That's right.
Courageous comeback.
And whatever dude was with her during all of this.
Full the Botford routine.
It's going to be.
He's running the Botford playbook step for step.
He listened to us. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do the Lindsay Lohan.
Browse Bean asks, bar soap or body wash?
Body wash. I don't like bar soap.
Yeah.
I mean,
bars feel
I don't like the idea of using a bar of soap to clean your dirt and then putting that same bar of soap for tomorrow aside.
Yeah.
I'm not into that.
And then, like,
concept.
It gets to be super, it's like a sliver, and you combine it with other ones if you have them.
Yeah, it's like Transformers.
Franken soap. Amazing. Franken soap, this patchwork of non cleanliness. Yeah, body wash for sure.
If they had, like, a big bar of soap that was disposable, you use once, and then you throw out the big bar, you pull up another big bar.
You're down with that? Like,
it's
a soap dispenser?
But you're cool.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Pete is neat. Like to know if he knows anything more about the Hodgson saga after Hodgson said his parents were not involved.
I think that some things speak for themselves. We know that Cody asked through his agent for more ice time. That was... I think that I talked about it in the last podcast that we did, that I would be there regularly when the phone would ring after games to one of the... people in the Canucks management, and it would be Cody's agent all the time. And I think it would be naive to think that Cody's and his dad, the Cody camp, were unaware of what the agent was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that you had a player that wanted out and hired an agent specifically to make that happen.
So you're saying Luongo should hire Winter.
That's right.
that's the death sentence right there. If he ever hires Winter, we're like, okay, we know where he stands now.
Yeah. That's right.
Jay Gowen 5 asks.
And Luongo did fire
his
agent.
Yeah.
Jay Gowen 5, how would Botch celebrate a 4-article night? you're in the zone. Yeah. You're writing articles. You just rattle off 4 of them. What would you
do? I would take out my cock. I would take out my cock, and I would stroke it.
Wyatt, we should report that.
Yeah, that's our new story.
That's an interesting, funny story.
No, we have integrity. We're not doing that.
Hand me my pants. I'm going upstairs to write. So, yeah, you just whip it out?
I would take it. Yeah, four good stories in a night, and I am taking it in my cock, and I am stroking it.
One stroke for each story.
That's
so four. Adam Pied asks, which of you would successfully land a backflip first?
I couldn't. I can't even do a cartwheel right now. So,
like right now, because of injury, or just right now, because
life,
or what?
Like ever.
Okay,
I've never been able to land a cartwheel.
Made it seem like an ankle injury holding you back. I used to do this all the time. My ankle's bugging me right now, so I can't. I can't do the backflip.
In 3 to 4 weeks, I'll be doing backflips all over this place. But just right now, I got to rehab this. I got to write four articles.
Yeah, exactly. The last time I did four articles, I pulled something. So,
yeah, it would not be me. I guess Wyatt.
I think I could pull it off. Yeah, out of us three.
Yeah, my limbs are too long.
Yeah,
my limbs are too long.
He's using science.
Yeah, because if I can do a backflip, I can do a moonsault, which is it's backflip and land on your belly. But to backflip and land on your feet, yeah, I could do that. My feet are so far away.
It would take at least 2 hours.
Alahente asks, "You're forced to watch the same movie over and over for the rest of your life, but you get to pick it. What do you pick?"
True Romance.
Whoa.
Oh,
nice. Close. You had it done.
Yeah. That's an awesome movie.
I watch that every year. Once a year, at least.
I'm
just shocked.
I didn't like expect you to have a crappy movie. I'm just impressed that you picked one that's kind of under the radar, but amazing. I love True Romance.
Yeah, it's my favorite movie. I would watch that. I could watch it every week, I think, for a while. For a few weeks. I watch it once a year, though.
Nice. Why?
It's my birthday movie.
I would rock with Goonies. I just like that movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's solid. They find a treasure and shit, and they save their house. It's fun.
I've seen it, yeah.
It holds up?
It holds up.
When's the last time you saw it?
Probably last year. I see it. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, right. It's a good movie.
There you go.
Okay.
It's Fast. Kids, and now you know.
Fast and Furious 6.
Wow. I'll let you know. How many times have you seen it now?
It was 10. After we saw it, you shut it down. Yeah. However, they came out with the DVD and the Blu-ray.
That's right.
Which is a director's cut, which has extra footage.
And have you seen that yet?
Not yet, but it's getting close. I think I'm going to do it.
The anniversary of the release next year.
Yeah, I'll do that. Let's see. Matt Lemon asks, feelings on the Doug McLean cheap shot last night on Old Man Ranch Radio. Now, Wyatt, you asked for some clarification on this.
What I didn't hear it. What was it?
Did we get clarification?
What did Doug McLean say?
He said...
He doesn't
remember it exactly, the topic.
Matt Lemon says?
Yeah, it was a sarcastic, was it Botchford reporting that? Was like his reply, I guess, to an outrageous kind of news story or something that he didn't believe.
Yeah, okay. I have a problem with people that use that joke. My problem was not being inaccurate. My problem was being too accurate. So I don't know why Doug would suggest such an outrageous.
If I get 100% a chest, I can be like, I just pulled a Botchford. We're going to do that. So that's if you're 100% accurate, that's what he wants for the record.
If you got 105 out of 100 on your test.
Yeah. Oh, I just pulled a Botchford.
I'm playing darts, and I hit a bullseye.
Yep. Oh. Well, I Botchforded it shit.
Yeah, right in the Botchford. Harry16.
But why would I don't care about McLean. Like, that seems a pretty, you know, I've been taking cheap shots for a week.
Yeah.
Solid. Like, Doug McLean. Who cares about Doug McLean?
This isn't a question for anybody, but did anyone give you one where you just had to take a step back outside of yourself and go, okay, that's pretty funny? Or that's, you respect a shot like that?
No, not that I remember.
Okay.
There were so many. I mean, I'm sure there was a couple out there that I liked, but.
Harry1619 asks, if The View changed to an all-male cast, who would be in it, and would it still suck?
It's Doug McLean for sure.
Get Drager on there.
I do like watching The View, so I don't know if I would say would it still suck, but I guess one of the reasons I like watching it is because it does kind of suck in a pretty entertaining way.
Okay.
But who would be in a male View? I don't know. Who would be in a male View? I can pick anyone.
They tried that like maybe 6 years ago or something. I forget what it was called. Mario Lopez was in it.
That's right. The guy thing. Yeah, that was weird and awkward.
That was weird and awkward. So we know it wouldn't really do all that well.
I think we could do it. That's all. Let's put it down.
The three of us, talking about just whatever.
Stroking it is what it would be called.
Yeah, stroking it. Which botch in the blocks.
Yeah, the intro for that would be amazing. Turning around, looking.
Alyssa 8 asks, legitimate question, thoughts on how Tanev is playing this season?
I think that Tortorella and Tanev is like a like love at first sight.
Oh, yeah.
I just imagine those guys like post game, like looking at each other with googly eyes. And I mean, it's been great for Tanev. He's playing, what, 2 minutes more a game. He is. I've never seen a guy block shots quite like him.
Oh.
He has no regard for anything. Right. Yeah. He does whatever kind of clicks in his mind at that moment. If it means throwing his face first into a puck, he'll do that. And Tortorella loves him. I mean, you can just tell, like, when he talks about him after the game. And he's got a pet. He calls him Tans.
Yeah.
Torts and Tans.
Well, he had that New York guy, Dan Girardi. He, like, gets a romantic guy. Dan Girardi instance where he's got this guy who's going to build him up like Dan Girardi did. And I think he likes Stanton, too, because Stanton's blocking shots with his face and getting points. Yeah, I think he's another guy.
Yeah, I'm really liking Stanton.
Yeah.
Stanton, Tanev, and Torts together on the male version of The View.
Yeah, Tans, with Stans, Mario Lopez. Tans, Stans, and Torts.
Mario Lopez.
He's together all the time. Yeah.
He gets to Stanton.
We're not starting the show without Mario.
Yeah.
You know, Tans won't talk much.
He doesn't talk a lot.
Tanev does not speak.
And I've talked to him.
You can just barely hear him, right?
Yeah, really takes a good 3 seconds before he responds. And it's like something whispers. It's always whispering with
it's
him.
Like it's a one sentence whisper.
Yeah.
I like to block shots. What did you say?
He's a mystery.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Heempath asks what the players thought of AV. Was it just Hodgson and Luongo who hated him, or were there others?
Wow. Were there other players that hated AV? I'm not sure if that's the word I personally would use to describe it. I mean, but you're there for 7 years. There's going to be players that are going to be sick of the routine, sick of the act, and, you know, looking for change, looking for something new. Were there different camps in the room insofar as, some players liked AV more than others. And I think that it's safe to say that Keith Ballard, we know what side Keith Ballard was on.
Yep.
Right?
Willie Mitchell tweeted at
that. I think we know what side Willie Mitchell was on. Yep. I think we know what side Ryan Kessler was on by the end. And I think that it doesn't take a lot to guess where Roberto Luongo which side of the room.
Well, like you said, 7 years and he's in an authoritarian role. So, you know.
Well, a follow-up to that one, like right now, the Sedins under Tort seem to be getting used everywhere. Like, penalty killing all the time.
And it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter what Torts would love anything. Like Torts could say, yeah, they're playing a minute a game, and they'd be like, this is the best idea. This is really going to work.
Great for the team.
This is great for the team. It's really going to spread things out. It's going to let other guys step up. Whatever Torts says right now about the Twins, they're all about.
Are they on board? Because like, were the AV guys? Do the Twins like AV? Do you think, or are they?
Yeah, I think because AV left them alone. But I think that they were part of the group that, and I think the whole team was like this. That it's a championship window, right, of opportunity for this team. And I think that a lot of them can see what we all see, that they're getting a little older, that window is closing or near closed. It's right there. They can see what happened the last two playoff rounds where they were swept in four games. And they're desperate. They were and have been desperate for something to hang on to, for something to grab onto. And right now, they're grabbing onto Torts. And everything, you know, maybe in a couple of years where he's got the Twins playing on eight different lines in a period is going to get old. But right now, it all seems fresh, and they're all about it. And it doesn't, you know, if he wants them running out to get pizzas during the intermission, they'd be, you know, running out, hopping in the car, you know, racing to the nearest pizza place. It doesn't, like,
get some pizza for Tans. He's hungry. All right, coach.
They were a team in need of something to believe in, and right now they're believing in Tortorella.
Awesome.
Believe in Torts.
Yeah. Bobak M. Ask Botchford, should Canucks practice shootouts more or less?
I think they should. Like, I would take like three or four guys, and I would have them learn two or three great moves, and that would be the group that I would use. I would try to have them scout as many goalies as possible and put in a lot of work in it. Like, they have worked on it a few times this year, and I was disappointed today specifically when we saw Edler and Kessler take their shootout opportunities and use those same lame, tired attempts that they've tried before. We all know that Kessler's slowing down.
Yeah.
Is not, he just doesn't have the dangle to make that play work.
You know who could do that?
Kessler
play?
With speed.
Yeah. He could. He did those moves. Wow. He slowed down and could do it.
Wow, what?
I thought
where is Wellwood?
You're tired. I thought you're tired this year.
With AV gone, I thought my days of seeing Alex Edler skating out there for the shootout were over.
He does the same. That one is literally just the same move every time. Kessler at least used to have a leg kick in there. Now just like Edler is one move.
Instead of running Edler out, why not? Like I let Garrison go out there, take five steps and blast a slap shot.
That's a good idea. I like that. Can you imagine that?
Goalie just leaves the crease.
Hosa does that. He does the slap shot. Just comes in and slaps it.
That's right.
And it works. And that was his name. Rolston used to do it. He used to do it.
Yeah, I remember Brian Rolston.
Then you follow that up with Kessler gunning full speed in the net and trying to do two moves and put it in. That's the only way I think that Kessler should be taking them. And I was disappointed to see it today because I'm like, well, you guys didn't even try. Like there wasn't, you know, Santorelli's been really successful over the years. So fair enough. I'd like, give him a pass.
Yep.
He can do what he's earned the right to do whatever he wants. But the other two guys to go up there and do the same old, it was a little disheartening. I thought, you know, Torts has talked big about, oh, you know, shootout's going to be really important with us. We're going to do this. We're going to put this time in it. It didn't show today.
No. Well, I've been to practices and they work on the shootout. They've got the assistant coach skating behind him, like recording it with the iPad.
That's right. Were you at the? And then this year they did one where all they worked on was shots. Like every time a guy, there was no deeks, there was no dangle. Every time a guy would stop mid slot and fire off a wrist shot or a slap shot, and we didn't really see that today.
Well, that worked for the best shootout specialist in Canucks history, probably Trevor Linden. Just came in and shot. All he did was shoot. Just come in and shoot, and it works.
Pick a corner and shoot.
Do it and shoot it.
The goalie's going to be back in his crease. You get him back far enough, and.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. Understand there is a big component of luck in determining whether you win or lose a shootout, but I think that there are ways to improve your lottery ticket and your chances of winning. And to me, so far from what I saw today anyway, it doesn't look like that they've even tried.
Kieran Gunn, should we ban Alaska fishing because it's too dangerous for the fishermen?
Ban Alaska fishing? No, why would you...
It's too dangerous, that's what he said.
Yeah, I don't know if he's trying to go for like a veiled hockey comment about getting rid of fighting.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe like head
right.
Shots,
yeah,
maybe.
This might be a really...
He's really deep
really
in
deep layered question.
I don't know if he's listening to the show, but that's too deep for
either
us.
Either that or he's really concerned about the safety of Alaska.
He's got an uncle. He's got an uncle's a fisherman.
Watch is a big deal right now. If he's got like if he says they should shut it down, they'll shut it down.
He's got one of those safety count, like 28 days since Alaska fisherman's been hurt in his house. I'm a huge fan of Alaska fishermen.
Showbot asks, why is everyone shitting on Botch for doing his job reporting on Big Joe being an idiot?
Yeah, damn straight.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to say, yeah.
Oh, that was
a rhetorical question, but yeah, I wanted to say that.
And hearing Pratt was a big proponent of that.
Oh, really?
So I wasn't sure. Like, I do love Dave, but when he is so... on your side, that was another time where I started second guessing myself.
Maybe Brad Price.
Maybe I was in the wrong here.
All of a sudden, you love bike lanes.
Hammond Jared asks, "Who is a better hockey player, Wyatt or Bo?"
We haven't faced
different positions
in different games.
You play different positions. Yeah. I'll be defenseman. I protect you.
Yeah, I play goal and forward.
I would not block any shots for you, though.
That makes you.
You would not.
Not for this guy. No.
Tans is better than you. You would block shots for me. Yeah. I would invite him down. Tanev would block shots for me.
Do you play a botch?
I could imagine Tanev. Not anymore. No, I don't. Like
the ankle injury.
That's right.
No cartwheels. No hockey. That's what the doctor said.
You don't do so many ball hockey things ever? Like even
I have time to go to work
and
do my family. Like it literally takes me an hour and a half to get those two kids up, get them dressed, get them fed, and get them to daycare. And picking them up at night takes another about an hour. And all the things that I have to do after that, no, I don't have time.
Quick question, do you miss?
All my free afternoons are spent podcasting.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
You too, guys.
Do you miss being on the radio at all? Like, you did it for a while and you...
No, I don't miss it. I don't miss it. It's unrelenting. And I was in a position where I had to know, like, who knows what Scotty's going to throw at me? He prides himself on knowing about every subject, right? So he, like, did I tell that story about the guy in Amsterdam last time when that baseball player
got knifed
in Amsterdam in Holland?
That's a knifing story. We remember knifing stories.
And he played in, I guess, in the Mariners minor league system.
Okay.
And so Scott just threw that out, man. Here's what happened. And then I'm supposed to engage in discourse on that. And what can I say other than it sounds like a tragedy. Like, Can you expand on this guy in Holland that got knifed and was a baseball player? I don't know. And so it would be things like that that I would have to come up with that I found unrelenting. The number of topics. Like if it was just me talking about the Canucks every day and, you know, some hockey, which I, you know, if it were my show, that's what I would do. I would talk about the Canucks. I would talk about hockey. And I would talk about, you know, the Alaska fishermen.
Yeah.
And that would be my daily thing. I'd have the updates on the fishermen and discuss the NHL. And if it was like that every day, it would be easy. But it wasn't. And so, like, there's no time off. The Sunday afternoon at noon on Sundays, you're thinking, oh, shit. I now have to know everything that happened in the CFL and whatever else to get ready for tomorrow morning. So
we don't talk
CFL. I don't miss that.
You guys don't talk CFL. CFL. We talk CFL one time.
Yeah.
Hey, Wyatt, Grey Cup's going on. You watching it? No. Me neither. Okay. Moving on.
So would you do CFL picks in your sports action videos?
If we were forced to.
Yeah.
If you have done them?
No, we haven't. No. But if we were getting paid.
Yeah.
I guess the band. How many videos did you do?
Two.
And then what happened?
Stuff
happened.
It got knifed like a guy in Amsterdam.
It got knifed like a baseball player in Amsterdam. And then, like, it's tough for us because to do a weekly video series, I mean, we do other things to make money because we don't, you know, make a whole lot. And then when they kind of backed out of it, it's like, oh, well, now we do it for nothing. And it's a lot of pressure. It's tough to do some of that regularly. Yes, yeah. And our schedules are, you know, not that good.
Especially the daylight. It's tough to film. We won't film during the day in, like, 9 to 5.
I hate the winter.
So all we have is the one of you jumping in the water?
Yeah.
That's still out there?
Yeah, yep. That's still there.
But we've got plans. We got plans for other ones. Yeah, we can do them. You know, it doesn't have to stop.
We just need, you know, to be paid.
Yeah. NHL trades free AG. He has no question. We allow one of those per show. Yeah, cool. All he wants is some profanity and lots of it. I'll turn it into a question. Why? What's your favorite swear word?
I always go to fuck. I always do that one. Shit's kind of, like, accepted now. Shit's not even a word. Everyone's like, it's all good. So yeah. I just go with the classic.
They say that on Conan.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's Conan?
They
say what?
Someone called shit. Conan? Someone called Bosch over using that as one of his articles. Shit, like, you know, come on, kids read it on the, like, it's the internet. They're going to see far worse things.
What did I say? What did they call me out on?
Like, you come on, Bosch, kids read these articles. You can't, I get your point. Use the word shit, yeah.
Oh, that's my new, I'm trying to get shit into
one
of my stories.
The shit bomb from Bosch.
That's right. I was going to try to get cock in.
But no,
that's
taken. Yeah.
But I got to step away from cock for a little while.
Yeah, let it cool down.
That's a good soundbite.
Yeah, that's right. We said soundbite.
Be careful. We reuse that. Yeah, it's fine. It's online. Yeah, there's porn there.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably porn out in the corner.
Yeah, it's much worse there.
Yeah, I think that you guys, I'm going to use more swear words.
Kess Rose asks, if the three of you were on a plane, who gets the window, aisle, and who gets the, oh, fuck, not the loser seat?
Oh, the middle seat.
Who's middle?
The middle? Oh, I can't do the middle. I mean, it would be whoever booked first. He would not. He'd be so late.
Yeah. So he'd, I think, be late. Us. We'd get. So yeah, he'd
of course
be middle.
We would.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd get the pick. I'd be there first.
So you want window or aisle?
I'm taking window.
Okay, I'm taking aisle.
You can have aisle. Okay. We know that he may not even make the plane.
Yeah, it's true.
Sons of bitches, man. There was a lot of miscommunication between me and you, Wyatt, over when, because this was the third rebooking for me for the show, was Saturday afternoon. So.
Let's not get into it, guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heat here. Let's move past it.
Try to drive a wedge. That's
what you're doing. Michelle getting us. Come on.
I'm not a good flyer, so I'd sit in the middle. I'd volunteer for that.
In the middle?
Yeah.
Is it safer?
Well, it's not that, but, like, you know, I'm far. Yeah. The ideal would be the aisle, because I'm far away from the window. I don't have to rely on. I can go to the bathroom whenever I want. I don't have to rely on, you know, making other people uncomfortable, having to scooch over people to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And, yeah, I can't really do window, because, yeah, I'm not a good flyer.
How many times do you have to go to the bathroom?
It's cocaine to happen.
It depends on where I'm playing, yeah. Depends on how much I want to party on the plane.
The nose can. He's got to get in there somehow.
Mike Cinco says, asks, are the Canucks going to make a trade for a center if Schrader is hurt?
Of course. If Schrader's hurt, like, right now? Is that what he means?
This game I think 3 hours ago, so...
Yeah, he got hurt in the game, right?
Yeah.
I think the Canucks are going to make a trade for a center no matter what. I mean, they have...
A good center or just another center?
I have no faith in them getting a good center, having gone through Paulson to Derek Roy and everything in the middle that we've seen. But if they're serious about contending, they're going to need another center.
They don't make many good trades. They really don't. Like, if you look at it, it's kind of depressing what they do. Like, getting Paulson, like, 5 years too late was a weird one.
Okay, and this is kind of the road trip down memory lane of the big three trades. The Schneider trade, the Hodgson trade, and the Grabner first for Ballard trade, which may be I think that's the worst of them all.
Yep, that really is.
Because not only are you giving up on Grabner, who could have been a great home run threat in that top six, you've had the 3 years of Keith Ballard in AV and spending $4 million on Ballard.
Could have kept Aerhoff with that money. The Ballard money.
They weren't going to keep
him. Why not? Why are they stupid?
This is a question from Wyatt. Yeah, question from Ass Expansion. Why are they stupid?
This is from their point of view. There are some players who want to get paid.
Yep.
And there are some players who are reasonable. From their point of view, Aerhoff was not being reasonable. He was a guy who wanted to get paid, and he did get paid with that deal with Buffalo.
What was he thinking about 10 years
so
before the deal?
Whether Ballard was here or not, I don't think that he was getting paid. And Hodgson was another guy that was out to get for the money. And even if that trade never happened, like, what would have happened this year? He would have held out. Yep. He would have been seeking a $4 million a year deal. And there's no way that
guaranteed
the Canucks
top six.
Yeah, he's got the most minutes, by the way, in the entire NHL.
He's in my pool. He gets one assist a game every time. But look at the one goal. Yeah, that's what I get.
Can't be choosers. Yeah. Next time he won't wins.
It's just Aerhoff was a loss. That's
well,
all I'm
the
saying.
Ballard thing was that not an insurance policy in case maybe we couldn't get Ham Hughes.
Yeah, but fair enough. Then. But even if they didn't get Ham Hughes, Ballard was not playing in the top. But Ballard was bypassed by Chris Tanev. Ballard was bypassed by Frank Corrado. I don't think that in any scenario for AV, Ballard was going to play, you know, over 20 minutes a game, whether Ham Hughes was on the team or not.
Ian_Ian11 asks, what do you prefer, Potter or Twilight? So Harry Potter.
Potter
or Twilight?
Or Twilight.
Are your kids doing into the Potter?
I've
yet?
Seen one of the Potter movies, and I've seen the first Twilight movie. Now, which one could I watch again? Do I think which one would be easier to watch again? I think the Potter. Would be my go-to.
Yeah.
If I had the choice.
Twilight. I've actually read a couple pages to see, and it's like one of the worst read. It's just terribly written.
Which one?
The Twilight. Yeah. Because you want to be able to know what you're talking about when you're yelling at it. It was just awful.
Alejante asks, cake or pie?
Cake.
Pie.
Oh, get out.
Cake is horrible.
What are you talking about?
Like birthday cake?
What kind of cake? I mean, there are a lot of cakes.
There's also a lot of pies.
Well, yeah, but they're shitty pies. There's a lot of good cakes. There's more good cakes than there are good pies.
No chance. What are you talking about? Why would you say that? What are the good cakes?
Ice cream.
Ice cream awesome, cake, but I don't even call it. You guys don't get cake for that. That's not real cake.
That's cake. You can't just arbitrarily
just because it's a chunk of ice cream shaped into a cake doesn't mean you can have that as a cake.
That
it's
is
not
a
cake.
Are there candles in it?
Well, I mean, I could cut it in half or a third and have ice cream pie. It'd be the exact same thing.
You could, but you didn't think of that, did you? So go
I just
ahead.
Did think of
well,
it.
Well, then it's still not as good because there's more of the cake. So I'm sorry, ice cream cake is better.
What cakes do you have? Black Forest cake, horrible. Birthday cake, way overrated.
You have no raisins.
Birthday cake, way overrated. Carrot cake, terrible.
Birthday cake's generic. What
pie, banana cream pie, man. Fucking unbelievable.
That's like a cake.
Banana cream pie is a great
apple,
banana cream pie.
Apple crumbles.
Fucking unreal.
Apple crumble is a pie? That's
pecan
like a
pie?
That's in a square.
Hey, if we're going to play the
pecan
shape
pie?
Card
yeah, I'm saying if it's a square, so it should be a cake. It's apple crumble cake if it's a square. If it's shape based.
Pumpkin pie? You don't like pumpkin
pie? The best pie. Obviously, that's no
brainer. Well, I just listed
that's
off like five incredible pies.
Of it,
and you've got
like,
no fucking cakes.
No.
What's your cake?
Ice cream is above everything, for one.
Okay, fair enough. So
you're
going to hold your whole...
Here are the pies that are good. Pumpkin pie, lemon ring, and you're done. That's your pies.
Oh, no, there are more pies than that.
Whatever.
I've been both camps here, kind of.
Bullshit. You know what? I'm going to ask Eddie. Eddie Lack will solve this.
Well, what cakes do you have? I mean, you've got birthday cake. You've got ice cream cake.
But birthday cake, you can eat anything. You can even flavor the
cake
itself.
Cake,
you can like have angel food cake. Angel food cake's amazing. You haven't had that.
You're right.
Yeah,
you
angel food
there.
Is awesome.
Angel food
so we can settle on pumpkin pie.
Let's all agree. Those are the bridge foods that join people together. Pumpkin pie.
That's right.
Angel food cake. Right on. That's like the Amanda Bynes thing. That was the most passionate. I thought that was a question. Like, okay, we'll just quickly answer. That'll be it. That shit got heated. It got intense. K. Maximic asks, okay, what's up with Ham Hughes?
I think there's four theories on Dan Ham Hughes right now. And I think that if you watch him play, it's the mistakes, right? Like, I think overall he's been all right, but you've just never seen him make the number of mistakes he's made. Here are the four theories. One, he can't handle torts, and torts is too negative. And I do know, if you've ever asked Dan a negative question,
I've talked to a few people.
His eyes pop out.
He gets really like kind of just like on the edge, or is he sad about it? Or what?
It's like him and Mason Raymond had that kind of same reaction. Like they acted like you just had dropped down from Mars and were asking him a question that had to do with high lie or some other sport. So he can't take negative torts. One, two. He's too pent up, worried about Team Canada and whether he's got to play perfect to make Team Canada. Three, he's injured. Or four, he's just had some incredibly bad luck over the course of the first few weeks of the season. I tend to think he's injured.
Because he set the standard like really high over the last couple of years. Like he's
maybe it's a little bit of all those things.
Yeah, it could be a bit of all.
I think that I don't really buy into the Team Canada one.
No.
Because, look, his chances were pretty remote anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, what chances did Dan Hamhuis realistically have of making the team? Not a lot. And has torts been negative to anyone? Like this is like good mood torts all the time.
Maybe behind closed doors he's screaming at him. Maybe they had a cake pie debate. We don't know.
He looks injured to me. He just looks like a step slow.
Yep.
His
slowness looks off a lot out there.
G Googly Boogly asks question for the pod. If you two, I guess me and Wyatt, but Botch for in here too, if you guys were in an MMA fight, who would win? List the round and type of victory. Are you an MMA guy?
No.
Botch?
No,
not at all?
I'd win a triangle choke. You guys wouldn't see
it. I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'd be like, hey, what's that? Put your arm on choke down.
He's a huge UFC right guy, right? So he would take...
I think
he'd take us out.
Taj, 1944. Can you ask him to tell us some off-the-record stories?
He's no longer off-the-record then, is he?
Yeah. You can change the names.
His name is Bull Borton.
Brody Hodgson.
Yeah, Brody Hodgson. That's a good name for him, bro. Brody Hodgson. Oh, man.
Yeah, I got some good ones about Kessler, but...
He said his name now.
Once we're done, we'll find out.
And tell what the stories are.
And we won't tell them, but we'll find out after.
Yep. You Fail Me 23 asks, how does he feel about Miley after the VMA/Wrecking Ball? So Miley Cyrus's downfall. How do you feel about that?
Downfall? We have seen an incredible, one of the most remarkable transitions in our lifetime. From a girl from going child star to transitioning to hot piece of ass. And her song, I think, is number one, this Wrecking Ball song, right?
Hosted a musical guest of SNL.
And nothing ever happens. These award shows are horrible. Nothing ever happens on them. No one ever does anything. She finally did something interesting. I'm a big Miley fan. I thought that it was a fantastic performance on the award show, and I thought it was what a performance on that Wrecking Ball video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at that haircut. That is one of the worst haircuts you could possibly have,
and
somehow she pulls it off.
It's true.
You saw her on SNL. She's wearing all these wigs. It was way hotter, and she wore like 6 wigs through the course of the episode. Mm-hmm. It was way hotter in every single one of those wigs. But yet, still pulls off that terrible haircut.
We've interacted about it a couple times, but you're a big SNL guy too, right? Or you watch it?
I do. Yeah, I do watch SNL. Yeah.
What do you think of the new season so far? Like, I think 8 new featured cast members.
Yeah, it's been pretty weak.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
so far.
I miss Hader. I miss Bill Hader. Yeah, I miss him so much. He might be one of my. He's on my Mount Rushmore of performers on that show of all time.
Hader is.
Yeah.
Who's your four?
I'd probably say Hader. Farrell was really good.
Wow.
Farrell.
What about Eddie Murphy?
Before my time. Like, I wasn't a
big... I'm sure you've watched all those best of...
Yeah, I've watched the best ofs, but I'm talking about like my formative years when I first started watching it in the 90s. Like, I got Netflix now, so I'm watching all of the stuff from the 90s. I would say Norm MacDonald is on there, just because I'd love
Hartman to be there.
Phil Hartman has to be there. Phil Hartman would be my fourth.
Hartman is like the solid, like, he did the Bill Hader role. Like, just like, you need someone to already come in and be...
Just a versatile player who can do anything.
Yeah, I like Harvard.
And I loved Weekend Update with Norm MacDonald.
So. That was, awkward and fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So how do you grade the new cast so far?
They haven't really gotten anything to do, really. One of the guys looks really creepy. Like, really creepy. Like, he's going to eat someone's face at some point.
That's a good skit.
Yeah, that would be a good skit.
They had the list of, like, the new SNL people, like, showing their work from before they got there. And I was watching, and one guy did, like, an Owen... What's his name? Luke and Owen Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He did an impersonation. It was terrible. Yeah. Like, it was really awful.
Was it bad?
Yeah, it was awful. Like, not even funny. Just like, I got a bit of a crooked nose. I'm going to talk slow. Terrible. And he's on the show. I'm like, how is that promoting him?
The first episode, Arcade Fire was a musical guest. And they did a sketch, new cast member or Arcade Fire member. Which was funny. And then they had one guy and an Arcade Fire guy. Okay, do your best De Niro impression. Arcade Fire guy crushed it. I don't know if that was intentional, but yeah, that kind of made me go, holy shit. Let's get the Arcade Fire guy on the new cast. The Philosopher, show favorite. If you could make one thing disappear from existence, what would it be and why?
One thing disappear from existence. Like I can pick, like, traffic?
You could.
So we're in cars. Like I would, my dream is, I've always heard those stories in the 50s how they're developing like personal helicopters for people. And then you could park that in your backyard. So if I could get rid of one thing, it would be cars, traffic, roads. I'm going to include that all together. And we're all in helicopters.
Sounds dangerous.
When we're parking our
dangerous. Like gyrocopters, right? Like the ones dangerous. That you sit in.
And we're in the fucking sky. There's nothing around.
I still think.
How are you going to be near me? How is that dangerous?
Your car stalls.
What are you talking
pull
about?
Off to the shoulder. Yeah. You know, you wait for AAA. Your helicopter stalls. Yeah. Guess what? You're dead.
But it's going to be. Okay. I must have a parachute, don't I?
Whoa.
An eject button and a parachute
this
to get out?
It's going
to
be like popular routes. Everyone's going to take.
I'm a trained chopper pilot at this point.
I don't know. There's going to be a lot of accidents.
Because it's all you know. You've never had cars.
If in my scenario, we've all gone to school. Yep. We've studied how to fly helicopters. We're all well aware if there's a malfunction of what to do, how to land it, how to get out of trouble.
Okay.
That's really optimistic, man. That's really...
But it's a good rationale. Like, he's got me convinced.
Talking about communism. If everyone shares perfectly, we're good.
We park them in our backyards, and we don't have to worry about things like traffic anymore.
What about birds? Birds can.
You think that would affect the bird population?
I think it would cause accidents.
Sully Sullenberger, they took down Jumbo Jet.
It happened to Indiana Jones. They used it to take down a jet.
Mikey C and Kolnock, because you went through so much nonsense of people attacking you, they're not questions, but I'm gonna read them anyway. Mikey C, are you kidding? People are pissed about this, the Joe Thornton thing.
Right.
Botchford for the win, Thornton's an idiot. Thank you, Mikey C. And Cole Nuck.
Why can't they both be winners?
Cole Nuck, no questions, but let him know he's one of my favorite sports writers, and fuck the thin-skinned whiners.
Nice.
Right on.
Cole Nuck, yeah. Bobak M, favorite road venue to visit and why?
My favorite road city?
Yep. The venue.
What do you mean?
Specifically, like the building.
Like the arena?
Yeah.
I Montreal, I guess. I think that's it's a pretty fun place to be. Toronto, I'm from there, grew up there. So that always has a special spot. MSG, I love that place, man. That's my favorite
the
place
garden.
To see. Yeah.
The garden.
You're in the press box is in the crowd, you're in the stands.
Oh, nice.
You're with fans and it's just an awesome location. Everything about it's fucking unreal.
How does Vancouver rate up to the other arenas, like coverage wise, sitting there in the media wise?
Well, for me, it's got a great we got great spots to see the game. So the location of where you're sitting is great. But you guys know the atmosphere in Rogers Arena.
No, it's terrible right now. It's one of the worst.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's quiet. There's like maybe if you hear like one "Go Canucks Go" chant, it's like you're like, wow, how did that happen? It's awful.
Well, yeah, it's quiet. You hear, you suck, Corey.
Yeah.
You hear one person yelling at it when they played the Devils.
Yeah.
And that was sad.
Yeah.
Do you guys have quick strategies on how to improve the atmosphere there?
Make them lose for 5 years so they appreciate winning again?
Yeah.
That would do
so
it.
Have the corporate
well,
guys
because
everyone goes there, it's the cool thing to do. Get Canucks hated again.
It's a social thing.
Yeah.
It's like a cool, yeah, it's a status thing.
Because 2003, when they made the playoffs for the first time, it was loud as any building.
I see, you guys go to games, but when I look at the crowd, I see a pretty young crowd. Like I see a lot of like young couples, young dudes in jerseys. It's not like I don't see like the typical old timey guys in suits crowd.
I will say I do not like that criticism, like that defense. Oh, it's just the lower bowls all full of people with suits and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's lazy and that's just a go to. There are people with jerseys. There are plenty of like legit like fans down there that aren't. You know,
well, look at the Southsiders, though. What are the Whitecaps?
Whitecaps
supporters.
People,
they get shit all the time for going there being too loud and stuff. So like, it's very like almost like the entire atmosphere is like kind of like, all right, enjoy the game, but you know,
yeah. So it makes you quiet. If you're a fan, it makes you almost like if you're a boisterous fan that likes to cheer, you feel almost awkward or uncomfortable in that situation cheering. It's like have you guys seen a concert at the Orpheum?
Yeah.
Which one? Did you see the Hip? Like for instance, the Tragically Hip's playing at the Orpheum, and everyone's sitting. And the guy that wants to, stand up and rock out with his cock out can't do it.
Joe Thornton.
You're stuck sitting there. So it makes for an uncomfortable, you can't bring beer to the seats there. What'd you see there?
I saw Nico Case there a couple weeks ago. But I've seen a bunch of stuff there. But yeah,
what did you think? And everyone was like, sitting there, right?
But that's a sittable show. But yeah, if it was the Hip, I'd be confused as all hell.
I'd be sitting.
I've seen a show at the Commodore that had chairs. Like they put chairs on the dance floor.
Shut up, really?
Amy Mann. Yeah, Amy Mann of the Commodore. I walked in there, and they had all these rows of chairs that were zap-strapped together on the dance floor. It was the weirdest thing. The philosopher also asked, where do your daydreams usually take you?
I daydream about just getting... Like, I have two kids, and one's basically three, and one's a year and a couple months. And they if it's not one, it's the other at night. So mm-hmm. It'll be like 3 a.m., one of them's going to wake up. And I'm going to be up from 3 to 5 to 6, usually, in the middle of the night. So during the day, if I were to daydream, it would be daydreaming about a good night's sleep. That is my fantasy.
Harry1619, other than Luongo, who would be most likely to have the good quote in a Canucks dressing room? I responded to him, I would discount Bieksa here as well, because that's kind of what you would expect.
Booth. David Booth is the most
underrated.
Yeah, underrated, underutilized guy. I think that if he's interviewed more often, he's going to say some off the wall crazy things. As Tortorella said, he is
a weird dude.
He's a weird dude. Yeah,
he doesn't care what he says.
I love the fact, and that was kind of lost in one of the elements in that Thornton notebook was that he had looked up the definition of the word weird.
Yep.
Before we went to talk to him the next day.
Yeah,
really.
Booth talked about what it meant. He like meant like I don't know. He was like proud of it. It was a really funny tweet. Like, oh yeah, it means I'm like extraordinary. It's found a way to make it a positive.
Ian Esplin asks, "What advice do you have for someone looking to get into sports journalism?"
Someone getting into sports journalism. Well, you guys are getting into sports journalism. What?
Win a contest.
Yeah, work your ass off.
Sleep anymore.
Work hard for, you know, no money.
Yep.
And, you know, hope things work out for you.
And then don't anger people.
Yeah, just don't step on people's toes, like certain people.
And befriend Eddie Lack.
Befriend the backup goalie.
Find a guy who barely plays and befriend him.
Okay. He's starting to play more.
And we're starting to write more. So, yeah, it's, tough.
Realistically, you just have to be consistent. If you want to do something, you have to be consistent, and you actually work your ass off. It's all for anything, right? It's not just this. Anything, just work really hard.
Schneider's teeth. Schneider's teeth.
Oh, Schneider's teeth.
This is a good question. This makes me laugh.
Watch favorite.
Does my being on Team Botch after Cockgate make him more or less confident that he did the right thing?
Pratt twice and Schneider's teeth on your side.
Oh my god. I'm going to go online and fully apologize after this. Gentlemen, I was in the wrong.
These are the questions that were asked, I think, last week when it was still pretty fresh. So there are some legitimate questions and some, like, ask him what he prefers more, being a shit disturber or an attention whore.
Yeah, see,
like there was tons of like questions. Like
I do admit to being a shit disturber for sure,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. But I do have anxiety, and I'm not seeking attention.
Were you stressed during those days when it was going down, or is it just like?
No, I wasn't really stressed for those like the 24 hours when it went down. I was just in mostly disbelief. I was like, holy fuck, like this is just way, like I know that when you take a captain of a team and you quote him saying the word cock, it's going to be big, but like I said, it was the tsunami of assholes that was a little bit overwhelming at
time. I think that should be the title of the show. The tsunami of assholes. Yeah, it's pretty good. Which is more Buzzmeg, which is more painfully tiresome, having to defend your position about Cockgate or a one-year-old's birthday party?
There's nothing worse than a one-year-old birthday party.
I know.
That is the worst thing that you could possibly be involved in, especially if you're a father, because you got to deal with your wife organizing it, putting it all together, finding a place to host it, and all these invitees. And then you have basically, because all that's there are like one-year-olds and their parents, so it's up to you to kind of make it entertaining and put on a show, right? You have to unwrap all the gifts for your one-year-old. Oh, look at this! I mean, it's horrendous.
You just put on True Romance and let it run.
No one needs to be in their room watching True Romance.
And the kid has no clue. Like, oh, yeah. All these gifts are coming for the kid. And they're happiest with, like, a plastic bowl that they can put on their head.
You just need evidence, or when they're older, that you can show that you love them. Otherwise, they'll be angry at you. You never had parties for me as a kid, and they don't remember. He's got to be able to show. Here we go.
Not only did Schneider's teeth rush to your defense, he also wanted to take a break from Cockgate and ask you something different.
Oh, shit.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Look at that. I'm being nice to you.
Yeah, but why? What's Schneider's teeth trying to get at with that question? Right? Like, what's his end game here?
Why is he Why is he gonna have an agenda?
Because he always does. I refuse to answer. I appreciate his support on Cockgate, but to take it that far and ask a question like that.
What's your ice? Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
last question from XX Seabrox. How about whether or not he misses Rinty's flaming red hair at 6 a.m. or DeBron's smirk?
Yeah, I do miss those guys. They're good guys. DeBron, he should be having a podcast or something. I thought he was great on the radio. I thought he was the funniest guy at the station.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was the funniest on air guy they had. I couldn't believe they let him go. And the thing is with DeBron, like that show, that Bro Jake show, that's right up his alley, man.
Oh yeah, he could excel at that if that's what they want to do. That's what was weird about it.
He'd be the perfect producer for a show like that.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
All right. On that note, let's leave on a high note. So the road trip, the Canucks versus Devils again on Thursday. Luongo versus Schneider, and then this will be it. How exciting is that? That unless unless they meet in the Stanley Cup Finals, it's over. It's the not even the first month.
It's kind of over now, though, isn't it?
It is.
Do you really feel like the next one?
Well, the thing was like Schneider. There's no real story about Luongo going to Jersey except for like, oh, Schneider's looking for revenge, but maybe Bergeron.
Yeah. I think Schneider's just looking for a win.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
Right? Like, so I feel like that's so for Schneider to go from of all teams to go to right.
Yeah.
He's got to go to the New Jersey Devils.
Play behind a legend
where he's
better than Luongo.
That's right. Yeah. So I. I felt bad for him because of that, but I understand when the Canucks made the decision, what else were they going to do? Trade him to the Oilers?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Watch him burn you for several years. Yeah,
would he be burning them, or would he be getting burned playing for Edmonton and Dallas?
Good question.
Well, to be fair, Dubnyk's right now is awful. Like, I've seen Dubnyk, and he's not. I mean, yeah, they also need
to. There's a lot of problems. The only person who looks worse than Dubnyk is LaBarbera.
Oh, yeah. Why sign there? What a crazy thing. Oh, yeah, I'll sign in that, too. It's young and has no defense.
Let's do it.
Well, it's funny because Dallas Eakins, like, you know, was up for the Canucks job, and he was the hot shit, and I thought he looked good, but now he's, like, looking a bit flustered.
That was the best decision to not bring in Tortorella. I don't know if it was an either or type situation.
Right.
But you got a young coach, it's already an established veteran core. And you got like a young kind of first time head coach.
Yeah, I don't think that Eakins was ever
seriously considered.
Yeah, and someone pointed out like, how can he call himself Eakins and still spell his name like that?
Yeah, that's
doesn't weird. He have to drop the E off?
It should be.
He can't fucking do that.
AI then.
But no, I think that they always wanted someone with experience, and right from the time AV was fired, Mike and that crew were saying behind the scenes, we got to get someone to get the attention of the players. And that's not going to be Dallas Eakins in his.
Well, the young coach, it always scares me because of Tom Rennie, the no beer in flights back in the day. And so like, telling Dallas Eakins, no beer tonight. Like, how do you do that? Didn't go over well.
Who's the worst team in the NHL right now, Botch?
Come on. Is that really even a question? I Buffalo, I'd like to see I think that the Buffalo Sabres are akin to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I think that they're going to set records for netness.
Really?
They look really
well. Bad. Those trades are going to happen. Like, Miller's going to get out of there.
Miller's going to be gone. Ott? You think Ott's going to be traded?
Yeah. What about Aaron? He's stuck there forever in this rebuild.
Like, what is he thinking?
He signed there because he had the best chance to win the cup, as I pointed out.
It's like it reminds me of like when Steve Nash re-upped with the Suns for like several years and then they traded off or let all their decent players get away and he was stuck in a rebuild and he was at that slightly past his prime but still he could cash in and maybe win a championship. He committed to them and then they completely gutted the team.
He needs to sign with the Heat. Just do what everyone else is doing. Sign with the Heat. Get your win.
All right, so that
that's a wrap, boys.
This episode in the books. Botch, you have anything to say on your way out the door?
I don't know. Hopefully that no, I don't. I don't have anything else to add. Why, you guys don't have some send-off you always do? Or some
terrible at ending the show.
Some kind of
really
lines.
Bad at it.
Not really. Just I ask Wyatt.
Do you have any final thoughts? You don't have a Green Lantern quote maybe we could use here? Like, what's his...
The oath?
Yeah. Do you know the oath?
I do know the oath.
Oh, God. Okay, you got to do it. Okay. You got to do the Green Lantern oath.
I know she listens. If my girlfriend is listening, turn it off. This is going to be pretty nerdy. In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
On that, gentlemen, until next time.
Until next time, Botch. Thank you very much.